finish the whole song without any mistake. Okay? Alright? And then you see, according to this design of the pad, if you move 1 foot from up cymbal to down cymbal, it's the longest distance, right? So it takes a lot of energy, 4. And then if you move adjacent, it's 3. If you move center to any pad, it's 2. And then if you just tap in the original place, you do not move your foot, then it's 1. Okay, so the energy are all given to you. And now the question is, if I give you a sequence of symbols, how to calculate the best strategy, right? So the symbols are, give you up, down, right, up, down, etc. Okay? I want to calculate, right? And then a very straightforward formulation method is to use DI. So what is DI? DI is the amount of energy, or minimum amount of energy, you need to spend up to single I. This is very natural, right? Up to I single, how much energy do I need to spend in order to be totally correct along the way, right? And then you need to compute DI plus 1. Right? So DI, well, but when you compute DI plus 1, it seems that you meet with some problem because you do not know how to get DI plus 1 from DI. What's the reason? And you don't know where your feet are, right? So somehow you should remember where your feet are, right? Okay? So naturally, you need to recall the position of your feet. I, J, K. Okay, J, K can be up or down, something like this, right? Okay? And then the DI plus 1 something, DI plus 1 to the position of 2 feet will be equal to the minimum energy of a lot of choices, right? So what are the choices here? The choices can be, oh, your left foot is up, right foot is down, right? And then you move to the new place, how much energy do you need, right? So basically it depends on the history, right? How, where are your feet in before step I plus 1, right? And then you can calculate up, how much energy do I need to move my right foot to up, or move my left foot to up, etc. Okay? But your previous history can be many, right? You can have many previous history. So the number of branches here could be as many as 5 times 5, 25. Now in the worst case, I mean. Why? Because in the previous step, your foot can be any combination, right? But of course, you will challenge me. Oh, it's not true. Your previous step, one of your feet must be in single eye, right? Okay, so at least I can fix one foot of mine. It must be there, right? So your number of states drops from 25 to 10, almost, right? And then you may say, oh, maybe I can use the knowledge in step I minus 1, and I can exclude further options. But it's too complicated. When you write code, you do not want to see so many different choices, right? Or different scenarios to deal with. So this kind of approach to map, to do this the recursion is not very wise. So here, for this question, what I'm trying to tell you is, sometimes you can change your view or angle of looking at the problem. Just now we say we use EI to represent the number of, or sorry, the amount of energy, the minimum amount of energy you need up to single I, right? Let's change our perspective a bit to say, now I use DI to represent how much more energy do you need to complete the whole song? What's the minimum amount of energy you need to complete the whole song from now on? Right? So it seems it's only a complement, right? Just now say, up to step I, right? How much energy do I need? Now you say, you tell me, from step I, how much more energy do I need, right? It should be the same, but actually it's not, right? So if I use this new interpretation, then I'm computing DIJK from DI plus 1. So Because Di plus 1 means from step I plus 1 on, how much energy do you need, right? And then I'm going to use step 1 to compute the energy starting from step I. Alright? Because now, the step I onward, this solution needs more energy. Right? So, this Dijk is equal to the minimum of some branches plus something, and this plus something. But this is pretty good, right? Because now you know where your feet are in step I. And then in step I plus 1, you don't have many choices. Why? Because step I plus 1, you know the symbol, right? Yeah, so you want to have two options. One option, move your left foot to that symbol. The second option, move your right foot to that symbol. Right? So now you only have what? Two branches. Branch number is 2. Just now remember the branch number is 10. And now it becomes 2. Just because you change the understanding of the idea of this, right? From past to future. That's a very elegant treatment, right? Okay, but of course, details, I'm going to see that. If you're anxious, you can try to recall something, right? Okay, any question about this example? This example is not too difficult, right? And now I'm going to explain the battery seems not very stable, so I have to put it here again. Yeah. Okay, so the next example I'm going to talk about is called tree model. Right? And for tree model, it's called comfortable group. But in terminology of graph theory, it's also called independent setting. So what's the setting? So again, this is one place where you need to use knowledge of data structure, but this data structure is just a simple data structure. It's called tree. So what does it mean by tree? Tree just means you have roots. So one root, which is a top node, and then this node has different branches below it. And different branches, they do not have connection between each other. Alright? They are independent. Alright? And each different branch themselves is also a tree. So it's a so-called recursive definition. Okay? Tree is one root together with several trees below it. Okay? Alright, so you see this one, it actually has this one tree with a tree with one root and three branches, and the rightmost branch has four nodes. Right? Middle branch has one node, and the left branch is one node. Okay? So now what is comfortable group? So imagine this tree models relationship among people. Alright? So if you have an edge between two nodes, now every node is one person, you have one edge between two people, two nodes, that means what? It means that they are enemies. If they do not want to be together. Alright? Okay, so now what's the goal? The goal is that now somebody is organizing a party. They say, okay, please invite some of your friends to what? Yeah, invite someone to join the party. Okay? So these are the group of people you can invite. Okay? You can invite a subset of people from this big tree. Then who can you invite? Then ideally, you will not invite someone who are enemies, right? That's not good. So you are trying to invite someone such that between any two of them, there is no edge, there is no connection. So clear about the problem. This is called comfortable group in my setting. Alright? Okay, so then what I'm going to do? It definitely is a dynamic programming, right? But then, because it's in the topic of dynamic programming, so it must be dynamic programming. But how to solve it? Now here, I'm proposing a straightforward formulation called DU. What's U? U is here. Every node, I give it a name, okay? So DU means, if I select people from the tree with U as root, how many people can I select? What's the largest amount of people I can select? Okay? So that's my the definition of DU. If I define DU this way, can you draw any relationship between DU and the children below it? We say this is the children of DU, 3, 1, this for example, this is a V1, this is a V2, V3, okay? So can you derive any relationship between DU and this V1, V2, V3? when you are trying to solve some problem, sometimes there's no answer. Okay? For example, this one, after some time, you may think, it's difficult to find the relation between DU and DB1, DB3, DB2, DB3. And then you need to figure out why. Why is it difficult? Right? Can you tell me why? Why you cannot find the relation between DU and DB1, DB2, DB3? Remember, DU means how many people can you see that, right? The largest amount of people can see that within the tree, with U as root, right? The whole thing. And then DB1 means what? DB1 means how many people can you select here, right? And this is DB2. This is DB3. Why is it difficult to link them up? What's the key player here? What's the key challenge point? Can I say DU equals DB1 plus DB2 plus DB3? Can I say that? No, why no?
The nodes between D1, D2, D3 may have had different stuff.
So what's the key point? So you see, you say, now first of all, the solution for D1, DB2, DB3, they have no connections. They can be dealt with separately. It's okay. But who was the key troublemaker? Yeah, you was the key troublemaker, right? Why? Because, what, can I see that you? Actually, I don't know. Because if we didn't see that any of the D1, D2, D3, I can see that you, right? But if you see that one of them, I cannot see that you. Okay? So that means actually your information in this DU is not sufficient. Instead, you need to tell people whether the root is selected or not. If you tell people whether the root is selected or not, then it's very easy to make up or combine the solution. Right? So that means the state here should not be DU. It should be DU0 and DU1. Okay? So DU0 means when I do not select you, how many people can you select in that tree? Right? And DU1 means if I select you, right? And then how many altogether you can select in this tree. So if you do this, then you can compute DU1 as what? Now I'm going to do one sub-problem. The other one, we can again do it as an exercise. So DU1 equals what? That's easy one. That's the easiest one, okay? Because that formula is short. Yeah, very good, okay. It's DV1, 0, very good. Plus DV1. Oh, V2, 0, right? And then plus D, V3, 0. Right? Because if you see that U, so none of the children can be see that. So for the sub-problem, we can only adopt the 0 version. Right? 0 means you not see that root. Right? Okay, oh, good. And then similarly, you can compute DU0 as well. Now, I believe that I don't need to do that here, although they are different. Okay, that will be handled. All right. Okay, so this is the second new DP problem we analyze here. Okay, so the next one, I'm not going to talk about here, but I want to tell you some background on this. So actually, this one is the first research problem I studied after I joined CTU. It's a very interesting research problem with a relationship between the code blocks in the program. Okay. So basically, code blocks can be modeled by a tree. Okay. Also, this kind of structure. So I first enter this block, and then with some condition, if this happens, I go here. Else, I go here. Okay. Have some branches, and then this version says if I'm able to put some code blocks in the cache, then usually I can speed up the process. Sometimes I go to some certain paths of the execution. I can save my time reading blocks because they're in cache. And now the question is, which blocks do you put in cache so that the worst case execution time is as small as possible? Okay? Now I'm not going to talk about the further details because of the time limit today. Okay, but I'm going to come back to that problem sometime later in the first four weeks. So basically, this is again a question I like a lot. The reason is it combines the greedy algorithm for some special case and BP algorithm for some general case, and also it involves some refinement of the dynamic programming for the general tree. Okay, so I will talk about this problem later, but today I think our focus is going to be here. Right? Okay. So the remaining time, I'm going to talk about the last standard approach of algorithm design. It's called divide and conquer. So I believe that some of you here, if I remember correctly, already raised the issue of divide and conquer. Okay, so now we really come to divide and conquer. Okay. So what is divide and conquer? Its philosophy is similar as DP, actually, or similar as recursion. Divide and conquer says, I split the big problem into smaller problems, and I solve those smaller problems separately, and then combine the solution together to become a solution for the big problem. Okay? And then you say, oh, how do I solve the smaller problem? Easy, recursion, right? So smaller problem can be split into further smaller problems, and then solve it. So actually, divide and conquer is another, how do you say, formal statement for recursion. Okay? Well, so, first of all, let me do some warm-up exercise. Okay? So we have a very classic algorithm for problem called selection problem. I believe everyone knows sorting. Right? Sorting, you know the numbers, and you sort the numbers from largest to smallest, right? Okay? But here, we are looking for a simpler version. We are not asking you to sort the numbers. Instead, I'm asking you to select the case largest number. For example, I ask you to select the largest number. Very good. Oh, largest number is very easy, right? You just compare. And then return. Done. O(n) time. Done, right? How about second largest? Do you know the best algorithm for second largest? Or largest together with second largest? Again, it's out of scope for today's lecture. So the largest plus second largest, the best time is n plus log n. Okay? No, sorry, if you're interested, you can go to related literature. Okay? And not today's scope. Now, so in general, if I want you to find the k's largest number, what I'm going to do? Any suggestion? Maybe the slowest algorithm. An algorithm that gives you a lot of information which are not necessary. Okay? And then it can also at the same time give you the k's largest number. What is that? It's very easy. Oh, so advanced. Okay, so I always see surprises in your answer. Well, that's very good. Okay, but remember, I mean, the slowest algorithm, which gives you too much information, all right? But at the same time, it also tells you the k's largest number. What is that?
Immersion?
Oh, no, sorry. Not at the very beginning of this course. Okay. It's at the very beginning of this topic. So just like this, So if I have these numbers, like 6, 5, 3, 2, 1, so maybe I choose 5 as a reference number, and then I divide the number into 5 here, and then 3, 2, 1 on the left, and 6 on the right. So I can use one value to split the remaining numbers into two groups, one group smaller, one group larger. Alright? Okay, so if you are very lucky, the reference value you took, you picked, is just the k's largest number. Then you stop. Say, okay, this value is your answer, right? I'm very lucky. So if this value is not k's largest, the index is larger than k, what do you do? So its position, or from largest to the smallest position, okay, is larger than k. But that means this reference value is too small, right? I want the bigger one. So you will search in the larger part of the two groups, right? If p larger than k, that means this reference value is too small. The rank is too low. Then I will search for the k's largest number in the group of big numbers, right? I will search the k's largest number in the group of big numbers, right? Now if this reference p rank is smaller than k, which means this value is too big, right? It's very ahead of the in the sequence. Then you should search for the k's largest number in the smaller part of the group, right? Smaller part. So in other words, if I'm finding the third largest number, right? I'm finding the third largest number in the sequence. Now my reference is 5. Its rank is 2, right? Because 6, 5, and then 3 small numbers, right? So my rank in the whole sequence is 2. It's too big, right? I'm looking for the third. I'm looking for the third, right? I'm looking for the third. So you are going to look for some number, this number in the smaller part of this sequence, right? Okay, so which position in that smaller part? The position is this, k minus p minus 1. I do not want to explain why it is this case. It's very easy to calculate, alright? Anyway, you know, if my reference is too big, please go to the smaller part to search. If my reference is too small, please go to the big part to search, right? Anyway, the problem now becomes smaller, right? Okay, so now, the important thing here is how to analyze how to design a good algorithm, how to split, how to choose the reference value. Now this part, I think, will use up the remaining 10 minutes. Okay, so a very straightforward way to select the pivot or the reference value is to select some value which is somewhat in the middle, because we do not want the extreme value. For example, if you have your reference is the biggest one, it doesn't help you, right? Then you still have a very big subproblem. That's not good. So we are trying to find some reference value which is somewhere in the middle. Now one way is to select the so-called median of the first two-thirds of the numbers. Okay? Median of the first two-thirds. So I think that I'm going to use some whiteboard eventually. So altogether you have n numbers, and I have one third n here, one third n here, and one third n here. So for the first two thirds of n numbers, I pick the median number. What is median? It's just middle, right? Middle number. Okay? Middle number. I take the middle number of the first two thirds. I find a number here. And this number is able to split the whole, all the numbers in two groups, right? Now, what can you say about these two groups? How many numbers are in these two groups? Now, because this reference value is a median of this step, right? So you can see that the number here must be larger than one third n. The number here, is it correct? Using this reference value, when I split the numbers, the left part and the right part, each part must contain at least one third n numbers. Why? Why? Because I'm using the median for the first two thirds. Median means middle, right? So that means there must be about one third number on the left of me, right? About one third number on the right of me, right? Okay, these are already fulfilling this requirement, right? No matter where those numbers go, it doesn't matter. Even if you go to the extreme, right? Or to the left, or to the right, it doesn't matter, right? Because my left part and right part already have sufficient supporters. They already have one third. Okay, so that means using this reference value to split, you can guarantee each part is less than or equal to 2 greater than. Is that right? Because you have at least one third number, which means the other side at most two thirds. Right? Okay? So your recursion is very successful because no matter which part you go to, you have a size at most two thirds n, right? So now when you check the curve bar, every time you draw this, it will have any horizontal line. I don't know how to solve it. But anyway, when you see this recursive formula, you will see what did you do here? T, 2n over 3. There are two Tn over 3 here. There are two copies, right? So there are. Let's see. Okay, cannot find. Okay, there's a 2 here, right? There's a 2 here. But this 2 does not mean a simple 2. It means two different meaning of T, 2n over 3. The first T, 2n over 3 means the time to find the median in the first two-thirds of n numbers. Because finding median is a special case of finding the k's largest number, right? So here we use Tn to represent the time to find the k's largest number. Okay, so the time Tn, this process, right, can be split to step one, finding the median of the first two-thirds n numbers. This process takes t2n over 3. This is the median of first two and t2n over 3. Second, because I'm going to use the reference number to split the numbers in two groups, this split process takes on time, n time. Because you need to check every number, smaller than reference or larger than reference, right? You need to check. And that's why you need on time to complete the process of partition, right? Now, after you do partition, we know that you will go to one side to do recursion, right? So you'll either go here to do a further computation, finding certain number in that group, or you go here to find a certain number in that group. But anyway, no matter which group you go to, the size of the group is only 2n over 3, right? So that comes the second 2n over 3. So remember, the first 2n over 3, t 2n over 3, is the time to find the median of the first two-thirds number. And the second 2n over 3 is recursion. Go to the subproblem to recursively compute a certain number, right? Okay, so using this formula, you can see the overall running time now becomes n to the power of 1.7, which is better than n squared. Remember, where is n squared? N squared is the previous page, right? If you simply do this, just like quicksort, the worst case is n squared. Now, we are able to improve it to n to the power of 1.7, right? Okay. So, but our ultimate goal is to improve it to linear, which is O n. This is a very challenging task, but still, there is a group of scientists who are very smart. They figure out the following way. And by doing this, they are able to do linear time. So what's this approach? This approach is the following. It says, now I split all the numbers into a group of 5. Every group has 5 numbers, okay? And then I find the median of these, every group. I find the middle number of every group, okay? Step one. Now, this step takes constant time, or on time, right? Because you only have n over 5. N over 5 groups, right? So every group takes a little number, it's very fast. So it's just linear time, very easy. Now, next step Among these medians, I compute the median again. I compute the median of them. So now you have n over 5 numbers, right? Among these n over 5 numbers, I pick their median. So the time to pick their median is tn over 5. Because you have n over 5 numbers, I pick a median. That's just the calling of this problem, right? So this is tn over 5 times. Now after I pick their median, now you can divide the groups into two sides. One, this, suppose this is the median. Okay, this is the median of the n over 5 numbers. So now there are some people on the left of him, some people on the right of him. Right? Okay? Now, using this number to do split, this split is pretty balanced. Okay? So if you imagine, because all these numbers are smaller than this, so everything smaller than their median, they are also smaller than this, right? So every group, the median is already smaller than this final median. And then anything smaller than respective median, they are also smaller. So basically, this region is totally smaller. This region is totally smaller than this star. And then similarly, on the right, you have another region, which is, I should not use less than. I should use this one, okay? So there's another region of numbers, which are definitely larger than this median, okay? So it's similar as to what we discussed before. So basically, on each group, on each side, you can guarantee you have at least a certain number of numbers, all right? And then this split is the so-called 30-70 split, which means on every side, there are at least 30% of numbers, okay? Which means on the other side, there are at most 70% of numbers, all right? So this kind of split guarantees something, which means when you recurse, when you do recursion, you recurse into a smaller problem, you only suffer this kind of running time, T7n over 10 running time. Because that's the largest size you will handle, right, in the next step. So, your overall running time is finding median of the n over 5 numbers, and then do partition, which is a when, and finally recurse into a big problem, or a relatively large subproblem, which is 7n over 10. Now, adding these three together, that will be a bound of your TM. And you can see, actually, the coefficient of these two terms, 1 over 5 and 7 over 10, they add up to a value smaller than 1. And then you can guess, suppose this Tn is less than or equal to Kn, then you can prove it. You see, basically, this recursion just tells you the overall Tn is just the way, it's linear. Okay? Now, of course, this will be the most difficult example I will ever explain in this course, okay? So, it's totally fine that you do not understand on the first page, okay? But if you are interested, you can go to the related literature, either on the internet or textbooks, to find the reasoning. So this one is really, really smart because it can bring down the complexity of linear, which is really amazing. But of course, the coefficient makes some difference here. Alright? Okay, so I guess today I will just stop here, and I will stay behind for a couple of minutes if you have questions. Yeah, welcome. Survey. Alright. As I promised. Ooh, remember what the survey is. It's a bonus question. I'm going to do a survey at the end of the lecture. Or voting or something. What's that question? Please. Only official students can answer this question. What's that question? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. That's sad that you lose this point. The question is whether this course is more difficult than the most difficult course you have already taken, the first four courses. Okay, so if you think this one is more difficult compared to any of the previous courses, raise your hand. No one? Oh, then I'm very... Okay, well, that's good. probably could be more difficult. But anyway, yeah, so you